So we begin our service this morning, which is on the eighth Sunday after Trinity. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
O Lord, open our lips.
And our mouth shall proclaim your praise.
Blessed are you, Creator of all. To you be praise and glory forever. As your dawn renews the face of the earth, bringing light and life to all creation, may we rejoice in this day you have made.
Blessed be God forever.
As we wake refreshed from the depths of sleep, open our eyes to behold your presence and strengthen our hands to do your will, that the world may rejoice and give you praise. Blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God forever.
The night has passed and the day lies open before us. Let us pray with one heart and mind. As we rejoice in the gift of this new day, so may the light of your presence, O God, set our hearts on fire with love for you, now and forever. Amen.
Amen. First reading is from the second book of Samuel, chapter 7, starting to read at verse 1. After the king was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from all his enemies around him, he said to Nathan the prophet, "Here I am in a house of cedar, while the ark of God remains in a tent." Nathan replied to the king, "Whatever you have in mind, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you." But that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, "Go and tell my servant David, this is what the Lord says. Are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. I have been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now then, tell my servant David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture, from tending the flock, and appointed you ruler over my people Israel. I have been with you wherever you have gone, and I have cut off all your enemies from before you. Now I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth, and I will provide a place for my people Israel, and will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. Wicked people will not oppress them anymore, as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. The Lord declares to you that the Lord Himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your ancestors, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish his kingdom. He is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he will be my son. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks
Thanks
be
be
to
to
God.
God.
And our psalm this morning, our verse is taken from Psalm 89. And if you would join with the alternate verse. I have found David my servant. With my holy oil have I anointed him.
My hand shall hold him fast, and my arm shall strengthen him.
No enemy shall deceive him, nor any wicked person afflict him.
I will strike down his foes before his face, and beat down those that hate him.
My truth also and my steadfast love shall be with him, and in my name shall his head be exalted.
I will set his dominion upon the sea, and his right hand upon the rivers.
He shall call to me, "You are my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation."
And I will make him my firstborn, the most high above the kings of the earth.
The love I have pledged to him will I keep for ever, and my covenant will stand fast with him.
His seed also will I make to endure for ever, and his throne as the days of heaven.
But if his children forsake my law and cease to walk in my judgments,
if they break my statutes and do not keep my commandments,
I will punish their offences with a rod and their sin with scourges.
But I will not take from him my steadfast love, nor suffer my truth to fail.
My covenant will I not break, nor alter what has gone out of my lips.
Once for all have I sworn by my holiness that I will not prove false to David.
His seed shall endure for ever, and his throne as the sun before me.
He shall stand fast for ever as the moon, the enduring witness in the heavens.
Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, is now, and shall be forever. Amen. The second reading is taken from Mark chapter 6, starting to read at verse 30. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going, they did not even have a chance to eat. He said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. When they crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret and anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout the whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Have you ever had a really good idea which has not been well received? I have. I often have really good ideas in the middle of the night, and when I wake up in the morning, it feels that my really good idea is obviously going to be loved by everyone and will solve all our problems. Although all too often my excellent idea is greeted by a couple of half grunts and blank stares. In our continuing look at the life of David through 1 and 2 Samuel, we have reached the point where David has a really good idea. By this time, David has united the Israelite tribes, and there is one united kingdom for all of Israel. David has also formed a new capital city, Jerusalem. David built his city as a centre of unity and to be a focus of identity for the one people of Israel. David also built a palace and a walled stronghold. As verse 1 of chapter 7 tells us, King David was settled in his palace, and the Lord had given him rest from his surrounding enemies. All was well in David's world. And then David had a very good idea. Actually, he had already had a very good idea, which was to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. The Ark was that special box containing the Ten Commandments, which God had written in his own hand. It signified that God was with his people. It signified Yahweh's presence. The Ark of the Covenant was not just special, it was holy. So now the Ark was safely in Jerusalem, housed in a special tent. And David had other thoughts. Look, David said, I am living in a beautiful Caesar palace, but the Ark of God is out there in a tent. It just didn't seem right. Surely it would be better for the Ark to be housed in a beautifully constructed permanent building. David wanted to build a temple for God to dwell in, like the temples that housed the deities of other nations. He planned an extravagant house built of costly cedar, a fragrant wood imported from Lebanon. At this point, David consults Nathan the prophet. Nathan plays a major role at a number of stages in David's life, sometimes encouraging and sometimes challenging. The idea seems good to Nathan too, and he has no hesitation in reassuring David, go ahead and do it, for the Lord is with you. However, God has other ideas and tells David that he is not to build a temple. This is what God says. I have never lived in a house. I have always moved from one place to another with a tent and a tabernacle as my dwelling. Yet no matter where I have gone with the Israelites, I have never once complained to Israel's tribal leaders, the shepherds of my people. I have never once asked them, why haven't you built me a beautiful cedar house? God takes the initiative by making it clear that homelessness is the right choice for him right now. Maintaining the itinerant identity shaped during the years in the wilderness. The leaders of those years were wandering shepherds of the people, and David was also the shepherd king. I found myself thinking, how do we react when our carefully made and brilliant plans come to nothing? How do we feel when God does not take us up on our brilliant creativity? Our human tendency is to assume God wants what we want, so we do for God what we would want. It is an inversion of how things should be. God is made in our image, not the other way round. It has never been God's desire to have a house of cedar. In Isaiah, the prophet declares that the earth is God's footstool and that everything we see was created by God, indicating that we cannot build a house big enough to contain the sovereign of all creation. God created us, not the other way round. He created us heart, mind, soul, and body. We are made in the image of God. And God speaks into our hearts the things that God would have us do. In this way, we can gain knowledge of what God requires of us, which is, in essence, the mind of God. But we need to learn from Nathan. He may have been a prophet, but he knew God's voice and he listened to it, and he was prepared to change tack. He does not fall into the trap, as so many do, to think that they are right and everyone else is wrong. When things go wrong, all too often, if it is anything to do with the church, people blame the Church of England. I knew the Church of England was rubbish. I knew that they'd get it wrong. And then they persuade their friends to support them too. As Oliver Cromwell famously said before the Battle of Dunbar, I beseech you, in the bowels of Christ, think it possible that you may be mistaken. But do we ever? Nathan is humble, and he humbles himself before God. His humility is an example to us all. He knows God. He knows that God says, For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. God has different ideas to you and me. How many times have I thought I knew how I knew things would develop and unfold? Sometimes I am right, but sometimes I am way, way off. Incredibly, God declines David's offer to build a temple as his permanent dwelling. Instead, God promises that one of David's descendants will build a house for my name, and it will be up to David's successor, his son Solomon, to finally build and dedicate a temple to the house, the Ark of the Covenant. It is always disappointing when a dreamed-of project, something we assumed was visionary, creative, and absolutely the way forward, is shown to be a dream and not God's purpose for us after all. When this happens, it's easy to feel rejected or even let down by God and to refuse to hear or accept any alternative future developments. But David did not react like that. When Nathan told David what God had said, David listened through to the end. As he listened, he learned that God had not rejected him and his ideas. God had not finished with him and his family. God would make a house for David, a dynasty of kings. God was entering into a special relationship with David and David's family. Eventually, there was to be a greater David's son who would come as Messiah. But that was for the future. In the meantime, God would continue to relate to his people as he had done, choosing to be present with them and to move with them. This is the picture of God on the move with his people. There is a moment in C.S. Lewis's story, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, when the characters hear that Aslan, the lion, is on the move. The children, Edmund, Peter, Susan, and Lucy, do not yet know who Aslan is. But we are told the moment the beaver had spoken these words, everyone felt quite different. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside. Edmund felt a sensation of mysterious horror. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if some delicious smell or some delightful strain of music had just floated by her. And Lucy got the feeling you have when you wake up in the morning and realize that it is the beginning of the holidays or the beginning of summer. Our God refuses to be domesticated or confined or contained. He refuses to be pinned down to the images and expectations we have. He refuses to be locked in the wonderful buildings we have created to keep him in. So, how do we react to a God who refuses to be confined, who refuses to be pinned down to the image and expectations we might have? How does that make us feel? Do we feel scared like Edmund? Brave and adventurous like Peter, uplifted like Susan, or giddily excited like Lucy. What can we do in our personal and corporate church life to make more space for the God who is on the move? How can we be more open to a God who refuses to be pinned down but nonetheless promises to be with us always to the end of time, just as he promised to David and his descendants. I think the best thing we can do is to surrender, to allow God to be God and not to get in the way. Let's allow the God of David to move among us this morning, and let's go with him wherever he leads. Amen.
Let us pray. Gracious God, glorious, humble, eternal, we pray the vastness of your compassion and the greatness of your love into the lives of those on our hearts this morning. May they all feel your presence with them and be sustained by your Holy Spirit. We pray for young people breaking up for summer holidays, for those who have things to look forward to, and for those who do not. We pray for those anxious about their future, and for those who are exploited. May they all feel your presence with them and be sustained by your Holy Spirit. We pray for those who feel under constant attack, and especially for children in war zones, those places in the headlines and those places that rarely make the news. We pray for all affected by war and violence, people and animals and the earth itself. May they all feel your presence with them
and be sustained by your Holy Spirit.
We pray for those who grieve, and especially for those whose grief is very public. We continue to pray for John and Amy Hunt, Lorna England, for the family of Jay Slater, and for all who grieve for loved ones who have gone missing, who live with the open wound of not knowing what has happened to them. May they all feel your presence with them and be sustained by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for one another, for your church, and for all who have no one to name them in their prayer today. We pray particularly for the sick, Jacques, Olivia, Rosemary, Mary D, Mary B, John, Alex, Maya, Hilary, Frank, Penny, Jenny, Chris, Mary H, Connie, Mary C, Derek, Anne, Brian, and Brenda. May they all feel your presence and be sustained by your Holy Spirit. We also remember the family and friends of those who've recently died. Dennis Rabjohns. May we and they all feel your presence and be sustained by your Holy Spirit. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. The Collect for the Eighth Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, we beseech you to direct, sanctify, and govern our hearts and bodies in the ways of your laws and the works of your commandments, that through your most mighty protection, both here and ever, we may be preserved in body and soul through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who is alive and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. As our Saviour taught us, so we pray. Our
Our
Father
Father
in
in heaven,
heaven,
hallowed
hallowed
be
be
your
your
name.
name.
Your
Your
kingdom
kingdom
come,
come,
your
your
will
will
be
be
done
done
on
on
earth
earth
as
as in
in heaven.
heaven.
Give
Give
us
us today
today
our
our daily
daily
bread.
bread.
Forgive
Give
us
us
our
our
sins
sins
as
as
we
we
forgive
forgive
those
those
who
who
sin
sin
against
against
us.
us.
Lead
Lead
us
us
not
not
into
into
temptation,
temptation,
but
but
deliver
deliver
us
us
from
from
evil.
evil.
For
For
the
the
kingdom,
kingdom,
the
the
power,
power,
and
and
the
the glory
glory
are
are
yours,
yours, now
now
and
and
forever.
forever.
Amen.
Amen.
The love of the Lord Jesus draw us to himself. The power of the Lord Jesus strengthen us in his service. The joy of the Lord Jesus fill our hearts. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among us and remain with us and those whom we love and pray for today and always. Amen. Thank you very much, everyone. Thank you for joining us. I think last week I heard that people were asking who Lorna England is. Lorna England was the 74-year-old grandmother who was murdered in Exeter, and the person who did the crime was charged, was sentenced last week. And her family live in Withley, so we have a connection to her. That's why we've been praying for the family who are finding all of this very difficult.
Awful. Absolutely awful. Bless him.
Yes, difficult thing to come to terms with. Yeah.
Definitely.
Anyway, I hope you all have a great day and
Thank you very much.
look
Thank
for
you.
look forward to seeing you next week.
Yes. Thank
Fabulous.
you. Looking
Okay, God
forward to
bless.
it. Thank
Bye.
you so much for the
Bye
service.
bye. Bye bye.
Take care.
Bye
Thank you.
bye.
Have a great week, everyone. Bye
Yeah,
bye.
and you, Liz. Bye.